Prime Minister Scott Morrison is expected to personally introduce the religious discrimination bill.
People should not be cancelled or persecuted or vilified because their beliefs are different from someone else's.
Scott Morrison has told colleagues it'll act as a shield and not a sword.
I don't see why we have to wait so much longer. I don't see why there's a nexus between passing the RDA through the parliament and the reporting time for the ALRC.
It's actually hard for me to get oxygen at the moment because there's too many other senators in the Liberal ranks that are playing up.
Does the wedge still hold?
Well, yes, at this stage, yes, OK? Because we've got to get a solution. Like, we've got to get these people who've been injured proper compensation.
Here's the thing. Being held accountable for your own actions isn't called discrimination. It's called being, you wouldn't believe it, a goddamn bloody adult.
I'm not going to have a kangaroo court taken into this parliament.
The Prime Minister will resume his seat.
The irony of breaking an election promise on integrity is certainly not lost on me.
The circus gets a new ringmaster.
The motion that I put, I'm confident, is correct. And the motion is that, is that the motion be agreed to. All those of that opinion say aye.
Clearly a lot of us are very confused. I'm one of the dumber ones.
Time to wrap the big news stories of the week. Joining us is author and columnist for the Sydney Morning Herald and The Age, Nikki Sava, and Crikey's political editor, Bernard Keane. Welcome to both of you.
Thank you.
Bernard, let's just start on the Peter Dutton speech. The Chinese embassy has slammed Peter Dutton after he declared that Beijing sees neighbouring countries as tributary states during that National Press Club address. What do you make of it?
I think Peter Dutton is doing exactly what the government wants him to do, which is to create the space for a pretty militarised election campaign. One of the few areas that the coalition really feels safe on at the moment is national security, and I think it's pretty confident that it can convince the electorate that Labor is weak. And Peter Dutton is certainly the man to do that. If you know, I don't think anyone's in any doubt about where Peter Dutton stands on various things. So he's got a job to do for the government. He's continuing to do it today. But I think Peter Dutton is also, and John Blackstone was quite correct, I think he's also burnishing his own leadership credentials, I think, to a somewhat quicker time frame than perhaps Professor Blaxland might think. But the rich irony of all this is I think a lot of what Peter Dutton says is actually quite correct about China's higher level of aggression and greater willingness to interfere in the region. But, I mean, it's only a few years since under the Abbott government, you know, Australia was talking about getting closer to China, getting into the Chinese orbit, into really engaging very, very strongly with China. And really, things have not changed a great deal since then. We knew China was an aggressive and expansionist power back then. It was engaged in rampant cyber attacks back then. Its human rights record, of course, was abysmal back then as well. But in just a few years, we've gone from a government that was dead keen for us to get closer to China to one that's using, talking about China in highly aggressive terms. And look, in both times, they serve domestic political purposes. And I think that's ultimately the dimension that applies here. It's about the government's domestic political needs rather than a change, a fundamental or strategic change in our external environment.
Nikki, Labor's defence spokesman Brendan O'Connor has called on the Prime Minister to rein in Peter Dutton over this. Has Peter Dutton gone further than the government's position, and do you view this through a leadership lens?
I would love to see Scott Morrison try to rein in Peter Dutton. I don't think we're going to
see that. I'd buy tickets to that too.
Yeah. It'd be a great show. Look, I think he's saying what the government pretty much wants him to say. He's probably saying it with a bit more oomph, if you like. I mean, his language is much more ramped up, maybe not as circumspect as a few of the others, but the sentiments, I think, that he's expressing are certainly what is felt more widely within the government. So I don't think he's going any further than what the government's policy is at the moment, and that is, you know, to paint China as a threat, a potential threat in the region. And, you know, this was the whole thinking behind the deal with the US and the UK for nuclear submarines. So he's just putting it in a much more direct way, if you like.
I want to change tack, if we can, and talk about the big stories and the big issues that sort of dogged the government this week. Nikki, it's been a dramatic week in the parliament. Let's start with the religious discrimination bill. The Prime Minister introduced it himself. He told colleagues this will be a shield, not a sword. But the reaction has been rather different. What's happened?
Well, look, what has happened is what the problem was from the very beginning with this whole issue, and that is there isn't really a problem. This whole thing was ramped up during the debate on same-sex marriage in an attempt to scuttle the same-sex marriage proposal, and the person who was pushing that mightily at the time was Scott Morrison. And so he got himself into this situation where he was trying to bring it undone, and now he's been forced after, what, 4 years, 5 years, to try and come up with something that will address a problem that doesn't exist. And the bill, as has been presented, is flawed according to his own backbenchers. It's flawed. It doesn't address, you know, or it seeks to address a problem that's not there, like I keep saying. But it also has the potential to create other much greater problems, and that is to allow